Please open your Bibles with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, and there, verse 1. The book of beginnings, and we'll begin there tonight in the 6th chapter at the very first verse. This evening, I want us to consider the similarities between Noah's salvation in the ark and our salvation today in the body of Jesus Christ. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter, the Bible reveals to us Noah's plan of salvation. Beginning at verse 1, the scripture says, "And it came to pass when man began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," and we're talking about the children of God, the men that belong to God, "when they saw the daughters of men," that is, the daughters of this world, they were not of God, they were of men, "when they saw that they were fair," the New King James Version says beautiful, "when they saw that they were beautiful," it says, "they took them wives of all which they chose." In other words, when those who were of God began to intermarry with those who were not of God, we find, as a result, many of those who were of God began to fall away. How do we know that? When we begin now at verse 3 and all the way down through the text, that's the only conclusion that we can draw. Beginning at verse 3, it says, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. In other words, because the Spirit of God was now being rejected at this time in biblical history, mankind was about to suffer a great loss. Although man was fighting against God at this time, while his spirit was striving, struggling, and straining with humanity, we find that that conflict was not going to last for long. Because the Lord said in verse 3, man's rebellion against my inspired word is only going to last for 120 more years. And now beginning at verse 5 down to verse 8 we read, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I have made them." But in verse 8 we read that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And now when we drop down to verses 13 and 14, we read, "And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me." Why? "For the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." He said, "Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch." And after revealing then the dimensions of this ark, we now read in verses 16 and 17, "A window, singular, shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark," singular, one door, just like there's one window, "shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower second and third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." And unfortunately, we know what happened in this account. But when we get down to verse 22, at the conclusion we read this, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And as we study then this account this evening, we'll find that the ark in many ways gives us a striking picture of the Lord's church. In the ark, the family of Noah was all together, separated by the Lord from the world. And that's what the church of our Lord is today. We are the called out, the ecclesia, those who are called out from the world, from the darkness into God's marvelous light, that we might be the set apart, the sanctified, the saints of God. And what we'll find as we look at this similarity, we can see regarding Noah's ark that there was only one builder. He built this ark of divine construction. And so when God's faithful servant by the name of Noah built the ark, dear ones, you remember he did so according to the will of God. And parallel to that, the New Testament church is also of divine origin. Since its beginning in the book of Acts chapter 2, it began to be built by God's beloved Son on Pentecost in the book of Acts chapter 2. You remember that Zechariah prophesied of this very thing in the book of Zechariah chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13. Where there Zechariah wrote, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch, he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and he shall sit and rule on his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And therefore it is our King and our High Priest who is the one and only builder of the Lord's church." Later, just prior to the fulfillment of that prophecy, which transpired in the book of Acts chapter 2, you remember while Jesus was on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 16, beginning there at verse 13, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they went on to tell him that some said that he was John the Baptist. Some said Elias, others said Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And that's when the Lord asked them, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And that's when Peter spoke up. And Peter answered and said that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's when the Lord said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah," or "Simon the son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter," and Peter means stone or pebble. And then he says, "and upon this rock," which means ledge. And so he's not talking about Peter, he's talking about the fact that Jesus is indeed the Christ. He is the rock of ages. "And upon this rock," he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Consequently, just as we can only find one builder of the ark in the long ago, we can only read about one ultimate builder of the Lord's church, dear ones, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. Moreover, just as there is only one builder in each of these places of safety that we're talking about tonight, there's only one building in both of these accounts as well. God told Noah to build an ark, singular, not plural. That was the only place of divine safety in the long ago, just as there is only one body for us to be saved in today. Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," not churches. And he said, "the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it," singular and not plural. And in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul called the church God's building, singular. Also in Ephesians chapter 4 and there verse 4, the Bible tells us that there is only one body. And dear ones, we cannot get more out of one. In addition to that, we learn in Genesis chapter 6 that God gave Noah specific instructions regarding the building of this ark. It was to be built of only one material, dear ones, and it was called gopher wood. not pine, oak, ash, or anything else. The material had to be what was considered gopher wood. Likewise, the Lord's church today is only built of one material, and that's human beings. The souls of men and women, young and old, which make up the body of Christ. For Paul tells us in the Galatian letter, chapter 3, verse 28, that in Christ Jesus there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. For ye are all one, he said, in Christ Jesus. And when we are a part of the Lord's church, dear ones, that was established on Pentecost in approximately 33 A.D., revealed to us in the book of Acts chapter 2, we find that we are added to the church today just like they were then. You remember in Acts 2 verse 41, the Bible says they, and we're talking about those people who were assembled together in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and they that gladly received His word. And that was the preaching of the Apostle Peter when he was standing up with the 11 apostles of the Lord and answering that question, what they needed to do to be saved. The Bible says when they received His word, they were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They were being added to the Lord's church. Because there in verse 47 it tells us that these 3,000, that they were praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The saved were being added to the church as the Lord was building His church then, and as the Lord continues to build that church even unto this day. And therefore I submit to you, dear ones, that we make up one building made of one material, and the Apostle Peter tells us it's living material. In 1 Peter 2 verse 5, he called us living stones which are built up a spiritual house. Furthermore, there was only one source of light in this Old Testament account of Noah and the ark. They only had one window that was built above, you'll remember, Genesis 6 verse 16. That allowed in the light into the ark. And in the body of Christ, there's only one source of light today, and that's by the glorious light of truth revealed to us within the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Word of God. Jesus Himself is the Word. John 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And therefore, Jesus made the statement in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Consequently, we're not to follow Moses. We're not to follow the Old Testament prophets. We're not to follow anybody else. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, God the Father spoke from above and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. Only Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And He told us in no uncertain terms, no man goeth unto the Father except by Him. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, the Apostle of Love wrote, this then is the message that we heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin. And therefore, the Lord's Word alone is to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Therefore, I submit to you tonight, dear ones, that we today are to be guided by one light and one light only, and that is the light of truth revealed to us in the good news of Jesus Christ. Turn with me now, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, and there, verse 7. The Gospel of John, the 10th chapter, and there, the 7th verse. What is more, all who entered into the ark, had to do so by the exact same door. We read that in Genesis 6 and verse 16. And since Jesus Christ is the only door to all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that means that there's only one door into the church. In the Gospel of John 10, verse 7, Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." And that means truly, truly. "Truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." And then if we drop down into verse 9 of that chapter, he pronounced, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." And therefore, in both of these accounts that we're looking at tonight, we can only read about one door by which we are to enter into salvation. Today, our access is into the spiritual safety that's through or by Jesus Christ. For there is no other name or authority under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, Peter said in Acts 4 and there verse 12. Moreover, all of those who did not enter, dear ones, into the door of Noah's ark, they were all destroyed outside in the flood. Unfortunately, all the others suffered total destruction outside of Noah's ark of safety. And the Bible assures us today that all those people who are not added to the Lord's church are going to be destroyed as well. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and there verse 3, Paul tells us that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ or in His body, the church. Verse 7 of that chapter states that in whom, that's in Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And then later in Ephesians 5 and verse 23, Paul tells us that Christ is the Savior of the body. And that's why Paul tells us that He was willing to endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus in the church, His body. That they might obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. 2 Timothy 2 and there verse 10. Which means we must obey the word of the Lord and be added to His body, the church, if we desire to be saved. For the Lord's coming again. And in no uncertain terms, we are told in 2 Thessalonians 1, there verses 8 and 9, that when He comes, He's going to be coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And therefore, dear ones, we must obey the gospel and get into God's ark of safety today if we're going to secure the hope of eternal life. And here's another similarity. Turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and there verse 7. The book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and there the 7th verse. Hebrews chapter 11. Is frequently referred to as the Hall of Fame of the Faithful. Here we can read about many heroes of faith in the Old Testament dispensation, which are examples like Noah, who revealed to us what it means to be saved by faith. It means to be saved by trusting in God and doing exactly what God has instructed us to do. That's what everybody did in that entire context. They all obeyed the word of the Lord. Well, Noah is also listed here in verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark." Why? "To the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." And so when Noah, he finished building the ark, God commanded him and all of his house to enter into that ark in order that they might be saved. And dear ones, there was no other family in Noah's ark except for Noah's family. And the same thing is true when we talk about the church that Jesus built. It is constructed and comprised of only one family. And that, dear ones, now is the family of God. You remember when Paul wrote young Timothy in his first epistle. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, Paul told him that he wrote this letter to him that he might know how he ought to behave himself in the house of God or the family of God, which he said is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And in Ephesians 3, verse 15, Paul wrote concerning the church, and he said, of whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named. And therefore this family is a sanctified family. It is set apart from everything else in this world. And let me add to that, dear ones, in both of these accounts regarding Noah's family that was saved in the ark and the family of God that's saved in the church today, they are also set apart from all man-made religious associations as well. That is the condition to be part of this one family. You remember when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in the second letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning there at verse 14 to the end of that chapter division, the gospel of Christ says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And he's talking about the difference between true religion and false religion. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye, he says, are the temple of the living God, which is the church. And he said, as God has said, I'll dwell in them and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, he said, come out from among them, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. I'll be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then when we go to the next chapter, he talks about receiving such promises. It's conditional. And therefore, membership in this one family, dear ones, must be according to the will of God. We must restrict ourselves to only doing the Lord's will. Because if we would all restrict ourselves to doing the will of God, we would all be the same. In reference to Noah's salvation, we'll find that only few were saved in the long ago. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 3 and there verse 20. 1 Peter, the third chapter, and there the 20th verse. When we talk about Noah's salvation, Peter tells us that only few were saved. 1 Peter 3 verse 20 states that the long-suffering of God, His patience, waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing. We know from Genesis 6 that was 120 years. Then it says, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Consequently, just as there were only few saved in that physical ark, we too must get into God's ark of safety today, which is the church, the body of Jesus Christ, and all of those who are going to be among the saved today in this dispensation of time. They're going to be in the minority as well. The Bible teaches that again and again and again. You remember in the Lord's Sermon on the Mount, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, and there verses 13 and 14, Jesus said to those who were listening, He said unto them, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. But He said, strait is the gate, And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it singular. And therefore, once again, the emphasis is making sure that we do Bible things in Bible ways, according to God's good pleasure, with the faithful few, rather than with doing things our own way. And therefore, the next logical question is, how were these people saved in the days of Noah? Well, dear ones, the biblical answer to that question is they were all saved alike. If they were saved at all, they were all saved the same way. And that's just as true for us today. If you look with me here at what Peter tells us, after writing about Noah and his salvation in 1 Peter 3, verse 20, during God's long suffering, the ark was prepared. By that ark, eight souls were saved by water. Verse 21 says, the like figure. The New King James Version says, the antitype, which shows us this type antitype right here in this context. He says, the antitype or the like figure, whereunto even baptism does also now save us. We know he's talking about water in this context. That's how he concluded verse 20. We know that now baptism, he says, does also now save us. It's not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not a physical cleansing, but the answer of a good conscience towards God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And therefore, just as it was by the means of water that God saved the people in the ark in the days of Noah, the Bible assures us, dear ones, here in no uncertain terms, that it is by water baptism that God saves the obedient today. It's by water baptism that we are raised from the dead. It was the water that saved them in the days of Noah, when it raised them up from all the death and destruction that took place down in the flood. And it's water baptism that raises us up from the dead and destruction today. Colossians 2 and there verse 12 says, buried with Him in baptism, wherein, that's in baptism, also you are risen with Him through faith in the working of God. Romans 6 and there verse 4 states that we are buried with Him by baptism. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. That's when we are raised to walk the new life in Christ. And therefore, the exact same element that saved them in the long ago is the exact same thing that involves our deliverance today. That's when we are resurrected in the first resurrection. Raised from the dead, you see, in water baptism. And so to prove to you that this Old Testament account of Noah and the ark is a type of our salvation today, Peter tells us here in 1 Peter 3 verse 21 that the like figure or the antitype whereunto even baptism does also now save us. They were saved by water. God uses water today. It is a type or a figure of God's plan of salvation for us when we look back at Noah's ark. Moreover, we know that Noah was saved by grace through faith. Genesis 6 verse 8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Hebrews 11 verse 6 states that it was also by faith that he was saved, and whereby he saved his house when he obeyed God and built the ark. Noah was saved by God's unmerited favor as well as by faith. Noah was a righteous man, but he was not a perfect man. He did not deserve, he did not earn, he did not merit his salvation by obeying the word of God. It was all acts of faith. He was obedient when he trusted in the Word of God. And we today must believe in the Word of God, the gospel of the grace of God, and do exactly what God has commanded, or we are going to be destroyed with the world as well. You know, We concluded that text in Genesis 6. Thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know what Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 10? So likewise ye, when you have done all those things that are commanded you, say, you are unprofitable or unworthy servants. You've only done that which is your duty to do. We are to fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, and that, dear ones, is salvation by grace through faith. By grace, that's God's part. By faith, that's man's part. By grace, God provides the way. Through faith, man must trust and obey. As Noah did all according to what God had commanded him, we too must act by faith, trusting in the Word of God and move with fear and take the preparations that are necessary to meet the Lord in peace. And then my last point this evening is, as there was so much work for Noah to do, there is work that needs to be done by us today. Even after the ark was constructed, even after the rains and the flood came, there was still work that needed to be done. All those animals needed to be fed, and they needed to be taken care of. Just as we, once we enter into the ark of safety today, we are all responsible in our own individual roles and functions within the body of Jesus Christ. We all have work to do. We all have to take a part in feeding the sheep. We all have to provoke one another to love and to good works by doing the will of God. We all have to do all things unto edifying or the building up of the body of Jesus Christ. And that's why Ephesians 2 and verse 10 talks about the work we do even once we enter into the body of Christ. Paul says, for ye are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Or even once you're in the church, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works that God had before ordained or commanded in the long ago that we should walk in them. We can find where God ordained that in Isaiah 2 and verse 2, for example, where we read there about the establishment of the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, the church. And after the church is established there in Isaiah 2 and verse 2, verse 3 tells us that these many people are going to come and say, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. That's what Paul said, that God had ordained in the long ago, that we were to do good works that God had before ordained, that we would walk in them. He would teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That's what transpired in Acts chapter 2. And that's why towards the end of the first letter written to the Corinthians, Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain because it's the only thing that will avail in Christ Jesus in the church. In the Galatian letter, chapter 5, verse 6, Paul says, in Christ Jesus, circumcision does not avail, nor uncircumcision. But what does? What avails in Christ Jesus? But faith which worketh by love. We're not saved by a dead, inactive faith. We are saved by faith that worketh by love. When we love God, we will keep His commandments. It is a living, working faith where we labor in love. What do you suppose would have happened to Noah and his household if they never got around to building the ark? What do you suppose would have happened to those animals if they didn't continue to care for them and feed them? We know the answer to that. Likewise, we too have work that needs to be done. Today we become children of God by faith. That's the faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Our faith is to be in the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, not by what looks good to us, but by what is found in the Word of God. He teaches us of His ways and we walk in His paths. That's what it means to walk by faith. When the church was first established in Acts chapter 2 on Pentecost, and that multitude asked what to do, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." He told them that the promise was unto them and to their children and to all that were afar off. And the Bible says, with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Repent! And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Save yourselves." Verse 41 says, "They that gladly received His word were baptized. The same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." The Lord was building His church, the called out, those who were saved. Verse 47 says that they were praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Therefore, we must get into the ark of safety today if we're going to be saved. And the ark that God wants us to enter into today is in the body of His dear beloved Son. How do we get into it? We're baptized into it. That's the access that we have. That's the door of our salvation. Paul says, "For as many of you has been baptized into Jesus Christ, you've clothed yourself with Christ, but not until you obey the gospel." By grace, God provides the way. Through faith, we must trust and obey. If anybody desires to be saved from their sins this evening, by obeying the gospel, become a child of God by faith, being baptized into Him, or if anyone needs to be restored back to faithful service, won't you come as well as together we stand and as we sing.